Welcome to Beyond Bitcoin, a podcast about all things digital assets, the global communities they are creating, the generations that are using and investing in them, and the challenges faced by the nations that are seeking to regulate them. The content of this program is not to be taken as investment advice. The opinions expressed in the program by the host and the guests are their personal opinions only. Remember, feel free to subscribe and share with like-minded friends. My name is Derek Graham. I'm the CEO of Portal Asset Management, and my co-host is Nitin Gower, Managing Director of State Street Digital Assets. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world, and welcome along to another episode of Beyond Bitcoin. Of course, my name is Derek Graham. I'm the CEO of Portal Asset Management. And with me today, my friend and colleague, Nitin Gower. Good morning, good evening to you, Nitin.
Hey, Derek. Good morning to you. Glad to be here. I believe we have a guest today. And super interesting topic.
Do.
Close to my heart.
Yeah. Fascinating topic, extraordinary guest. Vince Yang is going to join us today. He's the CEO of ZK Link. Hello, Vince, and welcome along.
Hello, Derek. Thanks for having me. Hi, Nitin, and it's my pleasure to be here today. Hi, everyone. This is Vince Yang from ZK Link. I'm the co-founder and CEO of ZK Link, the first multi-rollup aggregated Layer 3 protocol to scale and reunite the fragmented Ethereum rollup ecosystems.
Great. So let's explain this in the simplest terms as possible. And so I'm going to give people an analogy that we often use when we look at this space. You know, if you're on a ship and you're looking back at New York City, if you're on a ship or you're looking back at Singapore, you are seeing what we call sovereign states. These are states that are built on an infrastructure, normally a layer one protocol, and the infrastructure includes exchanges and real estate, real world assets, DeFi, you know, non-fungible tokens, dApps, etc., all operating within New York and within Singapore. So what surrounds New York is the Hudson River. What surrounds Singapore is Pacific and South China Sea and Malacca Straits. These are the areas that layer one protocols often need to bridge. And they're called bridging protocols. And Chainalysis tells us that the estimated loss of funds due to hacks on these bridging protocols is around $2 billion worth. In fact, the Nomad hack, for instance, resulted in a $200 million hack, security hack, between these cross-chain bridges. So these cross-chain protocols, not just problematic for the fact that they provide, you know, they enable the bringing together of data exchanges, information, assets between different major blockchains, or as we refer to them as sovereign states. But also, if we can solve the problem of these cross-chain protocols, we then solve the vulnerability of so much of the hacking that we hear about in this space. And so, as the CEO of ZK Link, what we were fascinated about is that not only do you bring together various assets, exchanges, etc., through the dApps that are getting built on your protocol, but of course you start solving this interoperability problem. And that's going to be our topic of today, how we solve that and how ZK Link plays a role in it. So maybe start by explaining broadly what ZK Link does and how it creates an ecosystem for the various protocols that operate in it, you know, with the view of being able to protect these hacks.
Thank you, Derek. I think I will start with a high-level description of how we are building this protocol and address to the problems of interoperability of blockchains and Ethereum rollup ecosystems, as well as the security problem during the interchain interrollup transactions. We are building a rollup protocol using zero-knowledge proofs. As you can pretty much tell from the name, ZK Link. So the ZK part is about ZK zero-knowledge proofs, which is kind of a mathematical, you know, proof that guarantees the correctness of transactions and the correctness of the off-chain state's transitions. And the link, meaning that we are building on top of multiple blockchains at the same time, so we can verify. We have smart contracts deployed to multiple blockchains and rollups at the same time that can verify the proofs that we generate in off-chain computational environment and send to the contract. And this way, the contracts can verify the states and also the correctness of the transactions and settle the funds and make sure that all these multi-chain assets trading and tokens bridge from blockchain A to blockchain B are safely guaranteed. And this is of the problem of the hacks that just mentioned during this asset bridging process. And also this, as we're building on a layer three, meaning a third blockchain layer on top of layer twos, and a layer twos meaning a second blockchain layer on top of layer one. And layer one are the blockchains that we're familiar with, for example, Ethereum, Bitcoin, and Solana, all those layer one blockchains. They will ultimately, I think people nowadays are talking a lot about layer twos for Ethereum. And also recently we have the discussion of the layer twos for Bitcoins as well. And for Ethereum layer twos, there are already so many. There are hundreds of layer twos, and the Ethereum layer twos, the landscape is developing very fast. As it, using your metaphor, is that there are a lot of small towns surrounding the mega cities like New York, very busy layer ones, and then you have the small towns just close to the city center. And a layer three blockchain like Zkerlink, like a town that's a little step further, but solves the problem of scalability, can scale, because these layer twos are trying to solve the scalability issue of the layer one, because the layer one becomes too expensive and too crowded. And then you move the assets and the computational work and transactions to the layer twos and process the data there. But eventually all these layer twos are going to be crowded again when you have like enough more and more users and assets and transactions happening on the layer twos. At the same time, hundreds of layer twos is creating fragmented liquidity pools, siloed liquidities themselves, because the layer twos are not natively interoperable among each other. So you're bridging from the layer one to a certain layer two, and then this layer two is creating its own ecosystem again. They have these own native assets and applications. How do you solve the problem of these hundreds or even thousands of layer two, different layer two ecosystems? As you, in an ideal world, you want to have the highest capital utilization rate, and also, of course, you want to have the smooth and seamless user experience where you don't have to move from one layer two blockchain to another layer two, and thinking about hundreds or thousands is kind of a painful user experience and a fragmented user experience. And also this will create the problem of like capital utilization rates. And our way of solving this problem is to build a unified aggregated layer three that connects natively to these hundreds of layer twos, and aggregates the liquidity and assets in this unified layer three, which will make these native assets and liquidities and tokens interoperable within this unified layer three. So it looks like, so you're starting from the same layer one blockchain, which is Ethereum, and your assets and liquidities go into hundreds of layer twos fragmented, but these hundreds of layer twos are entering the same layer three, which is built by Zkerlink, unified layer three, which unifies liquidities and assets and unifies the user experience, simplify user experience and the developer experience. And the applications built atop our unified layer three, aggregated layer three, will have native assets. We have native access to the native assets from these hundreds of layer twos. Reunites the liquidity and assets. Then why you need to do that on the layer three, but not staying on the layer one? Because on layer twos, you are more scalable. On layer three, you are even more scalable because you are scaling the layer twos. This is like a quick description of the overall architecture of the Zkerlink protocol and the problems we're trying to solve. Interoperability issue of assets, liquidity fragmentation, and user experience, fragmented user experience, fragmented developer experience.
So one thing, Vince, I think that's a whole lot to digest, and it's super super interesting because I've been actually spending a lot of time in understanding the power of zero knowledge proof. So let's go back to a bit of basic for our audiences, right? So to me, in my research, zero knowledge essentially offers two main benefits, right? One is the privacy preservation. So as we discussed earlier, the core thesis of the original paper that came from Shafi Goldwasser and Sylvia Macaulay, the luminaries from the MIT who looked into this from the initial paper of the knowledge complexity of interactive proof system, they talked about the model where the proving a secret without revealing it's one of the main characteristic of ZKPs, right? So you're basically saying that you know something, but without actually revealing it, you're able to still prove that you have that secret. And exactly. That leads to privacy preservation, that you can say, hey, it's me, I'm the person, everything else. And this feature alone, this core feature could solve privacy issues. We've looked at this in payment systems to say, I want to be able to transact with you, but you should be able to not see what's in my wallet, which blockchains being transaction, open transaction systems, it's a little hard. So ZKP provides that layer of privacy preservation. The second property, which I think is super interesting, is succinctness. Right, which adds to scalability. So, you know, you're basically relying upon EKPs to maintain a constant weight of certain, you know, transaction volume. And at that point, you're simply, regardless of the amount of data, which is what I think Project Hermes, which is the Polygon acquisition that they have made, is tens of thousands of transactions are executed correctly. And you have one single proof, which makes it succinct and addresses scalability. So scalability and privacy preservation are two sort of core tenets of this technology. So when you talk about liquidity aggregation, which implies that you have assets in all layer twos, it could be, you know, from the likes of the Polygons or the likes of Arboretum and various layer twos that are there, you have DEXs and you have liquidity pools and you have lending protocols. So that's basically you're having in this asset ecosystem, which each of them rely upon Ethereum as single source of truth. So when ZK-Link talks about aggregating liquidity as a layer three, which is sits on top of layer two, is that using the proof architecture that you have to get the proof of individual liquidity from each of those layer twos and then amalgamating that as a single proof, thereby saying that, yes, I have enough liquidity, ergo I can engage in this transaction? Could you double click on that a little bit? If that makes sense.
Yes, thank you, Nitin, for this question. So basically, how we aggregate liquidity is that we have ZK verified contract deployed to multiple blockchains and layer twos, and which allows users to make a deposit of their funds to this contract, this roll-up contract, and then this deposit information is notified to the layer three of chain service. The off-chain server, and in the layer three off-chain server, within this, you have a unified state tree that records all the deposit information. But eventually, you need to have a zero knowledge proof returned back to the contracts deployed to the integrated layer ones and the layer twos, where you'd be able to verify all the transactions that were executed in the layer three environments. At the same time, a very important step is to synchronize the states, synchronize the deposit information across different blockchains because they cannot directly perceive the states from each other. So, for example, Polygon ZKEVM will not be able to tell how much deposit is made on ZK Sync or on Starknet. But instead, this zero knowledge proof will of this off-chain unified state tree that records all the in deposit information will tell the smart contract how much deposit is made from another layer two or another blockchain. And then this same information is submitted to each of the integrated chains and the layer twos. And you have the smart contract deployed on Ethereum that receives the state roots or a sync hash calculated by the smart contract. And this smart contract receives this information from each of the integrated layer twos, and they compare the consistency of these state roots of the Merkle tree. So think about it, it's just a byte code. It's a hash value that contains the information. you know, of the deposit from different blockchains, and then the consistency is compared in a smart contract on Ethereum from deep multiple layer twos. And once this consistency check is done, then the smart contract will be able to tell, okay, the states across layer twos are synchronized and consider this to be correct, and then the transactions are executed and the funds are executed, all the transactions are finalized and settled on the layer one blockchain and layer twos, and then users will be able to make withdrawal with their updated states. So this is how we achieved the... Go ahead.
Yeah, so one thing I want to actually, again, double click on a few things, right? I think it's brilliant. I think what you're doing, Vince, and ZK Link, and I, when I heard you were coming, I did a bunch of research, because I think the problem you're solving of liquidity fragmentation and subsequent aggregation of liquidity actually is a huge, I would say, crypto finance problem, because of virtue of amazing projects who have chosen for one reason or the other. It's a huge issue. And the question that I oftentimes ask, for example, if you look at the apparatus, it's complex. Obviously, the math is complex, and the projects like yours are trying to simplify the math behind it and make it more usable. But if you look at, like, for example, Polygon, right? They looked into ZK EVM architecture, which looked into a few things, right? The execution environment, the proving circuits, verifier contracts. These are technical constructs. My question to you is, do we need zero-knowledge technology for liquidity aggregation? So Polygon themselves, like Polygon 2.0 vision, for example, was like, we have sort of lost, we need to reassign our vision. So our vision now is purely focused on, I think it's, they call it aggregate, or so their focus is also liquidity aggregation as a layer two itself. And then you described as to how you extract information for the Merkle tree, because the single source of truth for all layer two is still layer one. In this case, happened to be Ethereum. Ethereum actually is supposed to have all the information, because that's essentially where the transactions get committed at the end of the day. So if you can help our audience understand, why do I need zero-knowledge technology or ZK-Link technology that you are talking about for liquidity aggregation? Can I not do this by simply going through the Merkle tree, which is nothing but a data organization technology in blockchains? And second thing is, how do you differ from the likes of Polygon, who also have the same message and they're on level two, layer two? So I'd love to understand the distinction of the specialization that you provide that not necessarily the likes of Polygon provide, while they may claim the same, you know, solution to a problem, if that makes sense.
Yes, yes. The first question is, why do we need zero knowledge proof in this case, right? Why? What role does it play? Of course, there are other technologies or other ways of doing this to aggregate assets and liquidities together. For example, simply using an asset bridge. There are so many, right? Like Layer 0, ZK Bridge, and Axelar. Or you can, from user's perspective, you can bridge over assets from blockchain A to blockchain B using this asset bridge. And there you can also, through this asset bridge, you can also aggregate the stable liquidities or another tokens and together. But the difference is that using an asset bridge, one, for hundreds of rollups or thousands of rollups, the amount of asset bridge needed is going to be incremental. You're going to need a big number of asset bridge, and this increases the complexity of user experience. And ZKLink is just a unified layer connects to hundreds of rollups. So this is like ZKLink itself acts like a unified asset bridge, and although it's not an bridge. Then two, you have other ways of, like, you know, aggregate liquidity, like, you know, maybe a POS network or whatever, a multi-sig that, you know, allows you to, you know, pull together to cut assets from two different ecosystems. But this again posed the problem of the security challenge, right? So how you secure the transactions, interchain transactions, and how you prevent the hacks that we have constantly seen from happening, like hundreds of millions of dollars lost each year. This is a huge problem. And yes, when users do not feel safe, and then they won't be, you know, you won't solve this problem unless you have a secure way to achieve this. I think this is where zero knowledge proof comes in, right? So as a mathematical proof, so it's trustless. You don't really have to trust anyone. So it eliminates or it minimizes the cost of trust. And you also have the optimistic roll-ups, right? So instead of ZK roll-ups, instead of their knowledge, you can also bridge over Ethereum assets to optimistic roll-up. And it's obviously right now more user-friendly. But the problem is that the optimistic roll-ups with fraud proofs, the fraud proofs is not implemented yet. Even with the fraud proof, the finality of the transactions is too slow. So the overall properties of the knowledge proofs come together has become the most balanced or the most promising and future-proof tech that can solve the different problems and make the most or balanced compromise on each of these different problems and breaks the trilemma of layer one blockchains on the layer two level and the layer three level. And why and how ZKLink is differentiated from like ZKEVM solutions like Polygon ZKEVM is that ZKLink is aggregating and reuniting the hundreds of rollups together. We're not trying to build another scaling solution, another layer two that competes with Polygon ZKEVM pods, for example. We want to make these ZKEVMs. There are a lot of ZKEVMs already on the market. Polygon ZKEVM, Scroll, ZKSync, Starknet, Tyco. You have type 1 ZKEVMs that are fully EVM compatible. You have type 2s, type 3, type 4, and they all come in with a little bit of difference on their implementation of the tech, and also they are trying to build their own ecosystems. You have hundreds of applications on Scroll, ZKSync, and Starknet, Polygon, Tyco, OKX, X1, and a lot of other chains using Polygon CDK, the ZKEVM, like the Polygon fork. And these counters of ZKEVMs, they are competing with each other in the sense that they're trying to build independent ecosystems. So you have native assets applications built on top of these ecosystems, which are not interoperable. And you have Ethereum entering, you have the Ether, ETH token, entering these different layer twos from ETH layer one. And this creates the fragmentation of liquidities. And you also have stable coins issued on each of the layer twos respectively. And then you need a lot of bridges to, you know, users will have to constantly move around these hundreds of the layer twos to find their, you know, favorite applications to or use cases, to trading opportunities. And ZKLink is not doing the same. We are building layer three that connects these hundreds of layer twos and reunites the Ethereum ecosystem, reunites the liquidities, and you can aggregate the ETH from 10 different ZKEVMs, aggregates the stable coins of USDC, USDT together.
And that's what I thought we'd cover for a moment. Vince, you know, one of the things that we're talking about here is, you know, it can sound a little bit hypothetical talking about so many different layer twos operating, you know, simultaneously with slightly different genres and styles and methodologies and technologies and, you know, what layer three does. But if you put it on an absolute practical level, maybe we could talk about one of your dApps, one of your protocols that's getting developed on ZKLink, and that is ZKEX or ZKX, which is a multi-chain exchange. I find that fascinating because what you're enabling, of course, is the ability to trade across multiple different platforms simultaneously, instantly. You know, may I say, the end of arbitrage potentially, which means creating efficiency. So, you know, tell us for a moment how you see ZKX as an example of a layer three protocol that's just solved the issue of all these individual DEXs all around the place operating just on the particular sovereign protocol that they're operating on.
And thank you very much, Derek. So from our perspective, actually, if we think about this kind of product in long term. So first of all, what is ZKX? ZKX all-mini-chain order book exchange offers spot trading and derivative trading starting with perpetual contracts. And it is natively connected to multiple layer one blockchains and the layer twos utilizing the ZKLink infrastructure. So basically users can directly and trade multi-chain assets, the spots, they can buy BMG token, they can buy Ethereum token, BMG token, Avalanche token, Polygon token, ZKSync, Arbitrum, Optimism, Base, a lot of different ecosystems assets are available, are made available, are directly listed on this exchange. So it looks like and it feels like pretty much to a similar to a centralized exchange platform like Binance, where users just to stay on the exchange and they don't really know about which blockchains they're operating on or which chains they're using or which chain that's the token they're trading from, because the user experience is simple, seamless, and users forget about the chains. And so this is kind of abstraction, right? So on a blockchain, on a decentralized exchanges are not offering the same kind of experience today, but we think that this kind of experience is needed if we want to onboard millions of traders or even billions of users on chain. It needs to be abstracted, simplified, intuitive, seamless. Users wouldn't have to worry about the gas tokens. They simply don't want to understand what is gas token for different blockchains, right? They just want to trade. 100%. They want to hear about a project or hear about an asset or a token. They're interested. Okay, it's great. I want to buy this. Okay, so I want to buy this now. I don't want to install a new blockchain wallet first, Web3 wallet, and then buy a gas token, which I don't really know. I never heard of. And then I go to this local decentralized exchange market, and then I trade with this gas token, and I send a transaction with the gas token, and then buy that, and then I bridge over the token. There are so many steps to do so right now, and so each step we try to reduce will help us to onboard more users. And with Zkling's application ZkEx, so you can abstract the gas token, abstract the chains, and you can offer all the trading opportunities as much as centralized platform, and especially on DEX, you will be able to list faster than the centralized platforms because they have more compliance work and you have more steps to go through. And on DEX, you can list very quickly these trending and emerging projects and tokens. So this is how we think that these kind of like omni-chain order book exchanges are needed and will play an important role in the blockchain space for users, and will be the next generation of exchange product that will be self-custodial, because it's DEX, right? So users
that's
do not
exactly
give up
right.
the custody.
And that's why I think it's important that the people understand that what you're creating there is a methodology for simplifying trading across all of these various areas without the need for multiple wallets and, as you say, multiple gas fees. And it's the ultimate goal to make layer one, layer two ubiquitous. It's not relevant to you. You don't care. You're just trying to do a particular transaction in it. So we're sort of running towards the end of time here, Vince, but it'd be great if you could tell us, you've done a recent raising of some tokens, some token issues. Maybe you'd talk about that, Vince, too. And by the way, for the audience, you can have a look at what X is by visiting their website, or ZKLink by visiting the website, same name with the .com at the end of it. But I'm very keen to hear, you've done a recent fundraising, you've issued a token. What is that and what have you raised, Vince?
Yeah, and also, Vince, before you answer that, I'm always curious when you have brilliant minds and brilliant projects like yours, how did you think of it? Like, oftentimes people are, generally mother, invention is, your necessity is mother of invention, as they say. Either you've gone through this problem or you've seen this problem firsthand and you said, I got to do something about it. Tell us a little bit of brief story on the genesis of this project and also the question that Derek asked, because I think from what I see, it's fantastic, Bemarv, the raise you've done in the record amount of time. So tell us a bit more about that.
To start with the first question, so what is the story behind it, right, of the genesis of the project? So I actually was working at one of the leading centralized exchange platform about 3 years ago, and then I rode the whole wave of DeFi summer in 2020, and I was very fascinated and amazed by the emerging DeFi products and also the new blockchains, the EVM compatible side chains, of Ethereum, like the new ecosystem, like a BSC, when BSC came into being, it was a lot cheaper, and there were a lot of projects and applications that were fun to play with, and there were a lot of trading opportunities and a lot of things to use. Also, other blockchains like Solana then that came later, a little bit later, and you had a Phantom and other areas, and we realized that the new layer ones and new blockchains will play a big part, an important role in the whole blockchain space. And so the future of crypto will become multi-chain. And then the Ethereum ecosystem, within Ethereum ecosystem, people were talking about scaling Ethereum because it has already become a real problem during the DeFi summer. When you make a transaction, it costs hundreds of dollars. It's not acceptable. A lot of users won't be able to afford that. And it takes hours to set a transaction, to receive your transaction, and it's too slow. The user experience is not good enough, and Ethereum is becoming more and more crowded, expensive. So scaling Ethereum is inevitable. So the people are talking about different layer twos, talking about different scaling solutions, technologies like including state channel, Plasma, and then Optimism rollup, and then ZK rollup. So the future of crypto is inevitably in a multi-chain and a multi-layer with the scaling solutions of Bitcoin and Ethereum. But then with the increased number of blockchains and layers, interoperability is an important primitive needed. So we were thinking about how to solve this problem, right? Building an asset bridge or something else. And we've had this idea of making the blockchain, hundreds of blockchains, and interoperable, just like I explained, right? So the fragmented experience is somehow needs to be unified. And if you're able to tag that, it's a billion-dollar problem. This every step you simplified, you abstract it for end users, you will help the user experience, and you will have adoption. And application builders, same problem. You have fragmented the developer experience on different blockchains with different ledger technology, different consensus, different developer toolings. And if you're able to unify the developer experience and offer what they're familiar with, you'll get more developers, more products, and then you will get more users in the end. Yeah, this is the thinking behind how we started about 3 years ago. We want to unify the blockchain space. We want to aggregate liquidities and simplify user experience, abstract the user experience. Hundreds of blockchains are needed in a way, because they serve different purposes. You need to meet diverse demands. You cannot have one blockchain that serves all purposes. You will have the one blockchain that are dedicated to a certain type of applications, and another blockchain that serves another problem. Maybe because there are so many important factors you need to think about it. You are always dancing with a lot of constraints. You are making compromises on a lot of moving factors. That is why we will end up having hundreds of blockchains and layer twos, or even layer threes, application-specific layer ones, application-specific layer threes, and then interoperability solution are what will become inevitable and important and crucial and valuable solutions to the whole space. And coming back on the token sale we did recently, one small detail to correct that we have not yet issued a token. We did a community pre-sale on CoinList platform. CoinList, I think you are already familiar with, is the world's largest community sale platform. And we did 4.6 million, roughly,
dollars
of community pre-sale there. And we were sold out in about 20 minutes time. Yeah, we're 5 to 10
seconds. That is so cool. Well, here's the thing. We do have to wrap, but congratulations, one.
Thank you very much,
on this exciting raise. But more importantly, to think about a problem and dedicate your time and energy to solve the problem. We will keep an eye on you, Vince, on your project, because you are certainly, attacking a very important problem of the industry. So thank you for coming on our show and sharing your vision and sharing your project with us. And we will put your website and some of the findings into our notes. But thanks again, and looking forward to amazing things from you.
Thank you, Nitin, and thank you, Derek, for having me today. And thanks, everyone.
Most welcome. We'll see you along the way. Bye for now, everyone, and see you next week. We hope you enjoyed our weekly conversation. If you have any questions, comments, or suggested topics, please contact Nitin Gaur or myself on the emails displayed here or via our LinkedIn profiles. Feel free to subscribe and share with like-minded friends. Stay well, inquisitive, and engaged. See you next week.